good singing this morning, and Brother Jason, so come read the scripture for us this morning.
All right, turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You know, I was thinking as I saw Brother David, Miss Jesse sent me a couple of pictures, and I think I saw Mr. John in one of the pictures. I believe that's correct. But I will say this. I mean, I was thinking about it as they sent the picture of the teen activity and all that, but there's nothing like serving God. And there's nothing like putting time into something in a ministry, and man, it's such a blessing. You think about all the things in life that can satisfy, but serving is where you're satisfied, and serving in whatever capacity. And man, just seeing the saw Brother John and Mr. West in one of the pictures, and families, and just means a whole lot when people serve, and man, what it does in your own life as you serve and are committed. So appreciate that. John chapter 13, reading verses 3-5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, beautiful day outside, Lord, and just all your blessings, Lord God. And Lord, many, many things, obviously, Lord, as we think about this week. Think about Brother Lonnie, Lord, and many prayer requests, Lord, that we have. Lord God, but we thank you, Lord, that we can come to an almighty Savior who can answer those prayers and who has answered those prayers. And God, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we even read here in the scripture, Lord, of Christ serving others. And Lord God, there is no greater, in my opinion, there's no greater sense of satisfaction than serving others. And Lord, and giving to others and doing those things, Lord, for others as opposed to self, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that Lord, this is a great place to see examples of that all over. Lord God, all over through this auditorium, Lord, are examples of those that have served, and many have served for a long, long time. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'd step up. Lord, each of us in our own spiritual life, Lord, would step up, and Lord, would give to others, Lord, whether it be at work, in the community, Lord, or in the church. Lord God, that we'd serve and that we'd give. And Lord, as we see, our Savior did that. Lord God, it's a great example for us to follow. Lord, give us a great service hour this morning. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. And, man, excited for what God has for us here and in the coming days. Looking forward to the future, but look forward to today as well. Thanks for the music. We appreciate the choir and Miss Ann with the special. And then Mrs. Hayes, and I think Emma went upstairs. Emma with the offertory. So great job. On that, man, did a great job today on the music. And man, if I'm a little out of sorts this morning, I'm just a little bit off. It's Brother Tom. It's y'all are not supposed to be over there. That's messing me up today. All right, it's really messing me up. And so if I get a little mixed up, and I'm looking for y'all over here, all right, then anyway, that's got me all out of sorts today. But anyway, glad y'all found a seat. But it's just messing me all up this morning. All right, John chapter 13, and we read the few verses in there, in verses 3-5, and we talked about the last couple weeks about this. Jesus knows, he knows our future, right? And we talked about Peter, and Jesus told Peter his future. And then last week we talked about Jesus knew his own future. He knew what was going to happen to him, and yet still he went through all that for us. And we get to this passage here in John chapter 13, and this is just a short time before Jesus going to the cross. And of course, we're just a couple of weeks away, week and a half away, really, of when Jesus died on the cross, and a couple of weeks away from the resurrection that we celebrate that time. And so it's interesting to me in this passage here. In fact, look at verse 1 as we get started here. We read this the last couple of weeks, really. For the Feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour has come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And so he knew this was it. He knew the time was here. And yet, there was something he really, really wanted to get across to his disciples. I mean, this is something that's really important. And so he takes some time here to do that. And we'll talk about that this morning, why this was so important for him to do that. So you think about this. Jesus doesn't have, he knows he doesn't have much time left with his disciples here on earth. And those that have really, the group that has followed him for the last 3.5 years has dwindled. All right, and it was a great number at one point, and it's really dwindled down to these 12, and of course a few women that would come eventually to the crucifixion, to the resurrection. But not a lot of people left. Not a lot of people left. They're still following him. But yet Jesus has something he wants to get across to those that follow him. And I hope this morning we would include ourselves in that this morning. We'll talk about salvation here in a minute. But if you're saved, trying to follow what the Lord have you to do. And so something he really wanted to get across to them as he headed to the cross. And so I want to talk about a couple things this morning to make sure we understand. As we read there in verses 3 through 5, tells us, look at verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. So Jesus was looking at where he'd come from. He knew where he was going. And yet there was something he wanted to get across to these disciples. He wanted them to understand, to know, something they needed to know before he left. And so we'll start there in these early verses of the chapter. And the first thing is this: do you understand what it means to be whole? Do we understand what it means to be whole? What God means by that, what Jesus is trying to show here. Verse number 5, Jesus prepares himself. After he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, verse 6, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He says, Peter, what I'm doing, you don't understand right now. You're going to understand it at some point. And he's going to try to explain it to him here in a little bit, and there'll be a greater understanding. We won't go there, but in Peter writes in 2 Peter, I believe, he talks about the humility, and you can think, as he writes that, had to be thinking about what Jesus had done for him and how we're supposed to humble ourselves. But do we understand what it means to be whole? Jesus says, what I'm doing, you don't understand now. Now, Jesus understood what he was doing, obviously. Jesus prepared himself, and they're there and sitting together, and this is really before the Lord's Supper. They'll get to that eventually. But nobody, and this is a custom during those times, nobody had washed the feet of those that came in. And so Jesus prepares himself to do that. He doesn't say anything. We don't have any words spoken starting in verse number 3 through 5. Jesus just makes the physical preparations and begins to wash their feet. And you put yourself in their place and you think about, as they're sitting there watching Jesus do this, what had to go through their mind? Well, I think Peter expresses it, even though Peter talks a lot, all right? He opens his mouth and sometimes, but a lot of times he's just expressing what everybody else wants to say, but doesn't have the courage to say, maybe. And so he steps out and says it when they don't, sort of a spokesman for the apostles. So I'm sure the rest of the apostles were wondering exactly the same thing Peter was. And so Jesus begins to do that and to wash their feet. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Peter and the rest of them didn't. By the way, Jesus sets a great example for us here. You know what Jesus did? He did the action first and then he explained. Now, we're not talking about acting without thinking. Well, we are talking about this. It's important for us to do. Sometimes we end up talking about doing more than doing. You do what you're supposed to do, and then you can, as Jesus did here, then you can teach. Some people want to teach without doing. Hey, the doing comes first, right? You need to be doing first. Before you're going to teach somebody else what they're supposed to do, you need to be doing it yourself. And so Jesus did showed what he was doing there first and then began to teach and says, you don't know now what I'm talking about or what I'm trying to show you, verse number 7, but thou shalt know hereafter. He says, you will know. So he went from, he says, you shall know what I'm doing. Now Peter, look at verse number 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. So Peter again speaks up, and maybe as the other apostles would have if they had been as bold as Peter was, thou shalt never wash my feet. And then we go from that in verse 8 to verse 9 where he says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And so Peter goes from, hey, you will never wash my feet, to, hey, I want to be totally washed. And why is that? Well, it's because of what Jesus said in verse 8. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Do we understand what it means to be whole? Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me.
this morning, if you haven't been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have no part with Jesus. And it's wonderful what Jesus teaches here in just a couple verses on the doctrine of salvation. He says, thou hast no part with me. Verse number 10, Jesus said to them, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Just in that verse, he tells us, first of all, there has to be cleaning at salvation. There has to be cleansing there. Now you say, well, I got saved, but I don't think there was any cleansing there. There must be cleansing at salvation. All right? If you're saved there, now that doesn't mean that when you get saved, all of a sudden you quit sinning. It doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean this: when you were saved, you were cleansed from your sins. There's cleansing that comes at salvation. And so Jesus teaches that here in this verse. There's a cleansing that comes. And notice what it says in verse number 10. He says, he that is washed, if you've been saved, needeth not save to wash his feet. In other words, once you're saved, you don't need to be washed again. So this morning, I don't need to be cleansed again. Jesus paid for all of my sins. So I don't need to be cleansed from the penalty of sin. I don't have to worry about if I sin, I might go to hell. No, I've been cleansed. Jesus Christ's blood paid for my sins. So I don't have to worry about my sins sending me to hell. Now, I'm still going to sin. It doesn't mean I want to sin, but I'm still going to sin. But I don't have to. Once I've been saved this morning, you've been saved. You don't have to worry anymore about spending eternity in hell. And that's a wonderful thing about being saved, that God gives us that comfort and that assurance. He says, well, once you've been cleansed, you don't need to go over it again, again and again and again. No, it's one time to be cleansed. And so gives us that. Along with that, though, he teaches this. He says, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. No, I don't need a cleansing from my sin that's going to send me to hell. I don't have to worry about going to hell this morning. But what I do need is I need a daily cleansing from the sins I commit. And that cleansing has nothing to do with eternity. Nothing. But it does mean this: as I walk along life's road, what happens? Pick up some dirt, some dust on my feet. Hey, you know what you did yesterday? You walked in this world, right? You walked in this world. And so in walking in this world, you picked up some things. You picked up, I don't know how many of y'all probably get to a certain age where you probably don't walk around barefoot a whole lot anymore, all right? But as your kids walk around barefoot, right, and they get some dirt. And what happens? You have to come in and you have to wash those feet off. Well, this is what happened in those days. They wore sandals and traveled in the dirt and the dust, didn't have all the nice things we have today, and so they would wash their feet, and usually have a servant or somebody when they came in the house would wash their feet for them. But they needed to get, so they had to have that cleansing of their feet. So we know what we do need. I don't need to get saved again and again and again, but I do need to what? Confess my sins. In fact, the Bible says, if I confess my sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I need that. So Jesus teaches that in this verse. Hey, you don't need to be totally cleansed again. What you do need, though, is you do need that dirt, what you picked up, and what we pick up just walking around. You need to be cleaned from that. Clean. It says we only need that cleaning once. We do need to be cleansed as they wash their feet. Also, what does he tell us in verse number 10? And ye are clean, but not all. He also teaches us, ye are not all clean. You know, this morning, if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, washing your feet is not going to help a whole lot. A washing the dirt off your feet, no, you need a total cleansing is what you need. You need Jesus Christ to take care of all your sins. And listen, that's the problem with those false religions. You go to the Catholic Church, you know what they're doing? They're taking those beads, they're going to the priest and confessing, whatever. And you know, all they're doing is washing their feet, but they're not clean. They're not fully clean. They've never trusted Christ as their Savior, so it's not going to help them any. And so it says, you're clean, but you're not all clean. This morning, are you whole? Have you been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you whole this morning before God? Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor
thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What a list that is of sin. And such were some of you. But what happened? But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Hey, this morning, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, right? So all those sins that they list there, and you say, well, I'm not on the list. It may be worse, maybe not. But those sins that you've committed, they're all under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, such were some of you. But we've been saved, we've been cleansed by the blood. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. John, who sat there and allowed Jesus to wash his feet, gets to write this in this revelation from Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 1. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus Christ has taken care of your sins this morning. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are whole this morning. We are whole. As we go into heaven one day when God calls us home, we are whole, we're cleansed, those sins have been paid for. Do you understand what it means to be whole? Are you washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Just a couple books back. 1 John chapter 1. We usually go, as I just quoted, verse number 9. We'll look back at verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from how much? All of it, right? Hey, this morning, we are completely whole in the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us from our sin. Are you whole this morning? Have you been cleansed? Hey, if you've been cleansed this morning, I get pretty excited about that, right? We're on our way to hell, and we're filled with sin, and yet Jesus Christ's blood cleansed us. Do you understand what it means to be whole? Jesus explained it to them, hey, you don't need to be cleansed fully. You need to be cleansed on your feet, washed. But boy, you're whole this morning because you've trusted Jesus Christ. His blood has cleansed you from your sin. Back to John chapter 13. Do you understand what it means to be whole? Secondly, as we continue this conversation between Jesus and mostly Peter, but Jesus and the apostles as he begins to teach them, do you understand what it means to be whole? Secondly, look at John chapter 13 and look at verse number 12. So after he washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said to them, know ye not what I have done to you? Number one, do you understand what it means to be whole? Secondly, number two, do you understand what it means to be humble this morning? Do you understand what humility is? What true humility is? Jesus says, know ye not what I have done to you? Do you understand what I've done to you? Let me explain to you. So he starts that in verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Jesus says, you're the ones calling me Master and Lord. And by the way, that's what they're supposed to do. Because he was their Master. He was their Lord. And you see, we don't have time to go into it today, but it is amazing to see that relationship change over the 3.5 years. And at first, as these disciples begin following him, they're just amazed at the miracles, and they see all that, and you see the different times where they may not do exactly what Jesus wants. And by the way, they're still like that as we get here to John chapter 13. But there deepens that respect they have and that awe they have and that understanding they have that, boy, this is not just a prophet. This is not somebody that's just a good person. This is the Son of God, and they've seen what Jesus has done as the Son of God over the last 3.5 years. And he says, you call me Master Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He says, I am your Lord and Master. You call me that, and you're supposed to call me that. Verse number 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You know, Jesus, he could have, but he didn't. He didn't condemn them for not washing his feet. I would imagine as he went around and washed the feet of his disciples, they were probably a little embarrassed. That's probably why Peter said something. I mean, I'm sure it entered in their mind, you know, we probably should be doing this for Jesus, right? I mean, if anybody should be doing it, it shouldn't be Jesus. He shouldn't be the one taking care of us.
We should have thought of that, or we should have done that. We know Jesus doesn't condemn that. He doesn't get on them or say, boy, y'all should have been doing this for me. No, he says, I'm trying to teach you something here. And again, he was showing them humility through his actions. He showed them, hey, here's how you're supposed to be humble. I'm the one that's in charge. I'm the one that truly could be telling you to do this, and yet I am willing to do it for you, to show you an example. As he says there in verse 14, says, I have washed your feet, verse 15, for I have given you an example. Hey, here's the example that you should do as I have done to you. Just as I have washed your feet, then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to wash each other's feet. So that means there's nobody here today that I shouldn't humble myself for and try to be helped to. And so there's nobody. Doesn't matter what my status is, doesn't matter what their status is. Hey, there's nobody you come in contact with that you shouldn't be willing to humble yourself for. And it, you know, humbling ourselves is one of those things that it's really easy to say, but in reality, we don't do it a whole lot. I mean, we really humble ourselves. And you know what? Most of the time when we humble ourselves, we want attention for it, right? Hey, honey, did you see what I did for you today? You know? Men, yeah, you humbled yourself and you pushed those buttons on the dishwasher for her, all right? You really humbled yourself today. And you want to make sure she saw that, all right? Make sure she understood that. Or, you know, for children, they do something great. I'm glad anytime children do something around the house. But a lot of times, we humble ourselves and we want attention for it. Hey, did you see what I did for you? Hey, did you see how I humbled myself for you? Hey, that's not true humility. True humility is Jesus did. He showed them an example. Here's what you're supposed to do to each other. He got down and he washed their feet. He didn't expect anything from them. He didn't expect them to do anything for him. No, he said, I'm trying to teach you something. This is very important. We need to humble our... And more than anything else, I think in our churches, there needs to be a humility in our service for God. We're willing to wash one another's feet. And do you understand what Jesus did? He went around the apostles and he even washed Judas's feet. So, yeah, but they've done me wrong. Yeah, but they've betrayed me. And nobody's done worse than what Judas did to Jesus. And yet Jesus washed Judas' feet. Now, the problem was, it didn't really help Judas a whole lot, right? And I really think as you read this and you see Jesus making reference to that, I don't know, we don't know where Judas' heart was at this time. We do know that it is right around this time, of course, when Satan entered into Judas. And so I don't know what the point of no return was. I don't know. But I like to think that even here, Jesus has given Judas one more chance. Hey, one more chance to see what he needs in cleansing. And so Jesus humbles himself and even washes Judas's feet. You say, yeah, but they're my enemy. They're somebody that doesn't like me. I don't want to be around them. How about washing their feet? How about doing something for them? How about humbling yourself for them? Now, by the way, again, we don't do that to get attention. And sometimes somebody will brag about that. Yeah, well, they're my enemy, and yet I humble myself, and they'll humble themselves for their enemy to get there, but they won't do it for the one closest to them. No, it should be for everybody. Hey, for everybody that we're around, we're willing to humble ourselves. So as he's teaching his disciples, first of all, do you understand what it means to be whole? Secondly, do you understand what it means to be humble? Jesus, the creator of the universe, the one who's getting ready to head to the cross to die for their sins so they can be cleansed and made whole completely, is the one that's serving them. He's doing it for them. That's true humility. And then thirdly, look at verse number 16 to 17. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Do you know what it means to be whole, completely whole? Do you know what it means to be humble? And then thirdly, do you know what it means to be happy? Hey, this morning, do we really know true happiness? Are you happy? Seriously, this morning, I want you to think about it. Now, I can tell some of you, look, the beautiful weather makes us smile a little more. I'm looking around, looking at the smiles of those who already got their stimulus checks. All right, I see those smiles there, a few of you, and some of you, Still waiting on them. And those things can make us smile and joyful. Let me ask you one. Are you really, really happy? Are you happy? Hey, in your heart, in your life, are you happy this morning? Jesus tells us how we can be. You say, boy, it's a lot of stuff going on in my life and a lot of difficulties. And I understand that happens to people, but are you truly happy? Verse 17, if ye know these things. If we know what? Well, verse 16, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, if you know this, the servant is not greater than his Lord. You understand this? We're not greater than Jesus. None of us are. We're not greater than our master. And Jesus will go on in this passage, because it's sort of a continuing passage over the next several chapters, and he'll go on and tell them, he said, look, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. You're not any greater. Hey, the servant's not greater than his Lord. This morning, we're not greater than Jesus. We're not greater than... And so, understand that as we go through life, don't put ourselves up on a pedestal. We're not. The servant is not greater than his Lord. He that is sent is not greater than he that sent him. You know what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples here? Is what we do for the Lord, the glory has to go to God. That's what has to happen. We cannot take glory on ourselves, because the one that sent us is greater than those that are sent. And so the glory has to go to him. If what we're doing is not bringing glory to God, then we're not truly humbling ourselves. We're not going to be truly happy until we serve to bring glory to him. If we know these things, if we understand what Jesus is saying here, do you understand what it means to give God the glory? Do we understand, as we talked about, true humility? If you know these things, happy are ye. Hey, the happiness doesn't come in knowing. Now, that's great. That's a start. This morning, the happiness comes in doing. If you're not happy this morning, it's because you're not doing. Hey, the happiness comes in doing something for the Lord, doing something for him. You can't just stop at knowing. That's great. And he's trying to explain this. The whole reason Jesus gives the example is to explain, hey, I want you to know these things. I want you to understand these things. Doesn't help without the doing. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse number 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, we look into the Word of God, the perfect law of liberty, and it goes through the verses prior. That Bible's a mirror that we're supposed to help us correct as we look in that. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That blessing, that happiness is going to come through the deed. This morning we walk out of here and we heard the message. Hey, I understand a little better what it means to be humble. It means willing to do something for anybody. It's just humbling myself, making sure Jesus took this on himself. This wasn't required. Jesus took this to an opportunity to show them, hey, here's how you... And Jesus was in a position, by the way, it teaches us those in a position of leadership should lead in humility, servant leadership. Hey, that's why I'm excited. We have adults going out on the buses to go pick up children. Hey, it's taking time, sacrificing their time, not expecting anything back from it, but sacrificing that. Hey, because those that are in charge, those that are leading, they should lead in humility. And he's teaching them. And that's great. We understand that. Oh, I understand a little better now. I understand what it means to be whole. I know I'm saved. Boy, excited about being saved. I need to wash those. We need to get those feet washed by Christ. That sin needs to be confessed and forgiven day by day. I need to keep short accounts with God. Boy, understand. That's great to understand that. But just understand that's not enough. We need to go out this week and do something with it. What are you going to do with it? Because the happiness comes in the doing. If you know these things, back in John chapter 13, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Do we really know what it means to be whole? If you're not saved this morning, Man, you need that wholeness, that completeness that comes from Jesus Christ. Do we know what it means to be humble? Are we willing to humble ourselves? Do we know what it means to be happy this morning? What's keeping us from being happy? You know what a lot of it is? We're not doing anything. Hey, we need to start doing something more. Humble ourselves more. Do more for God. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning to see and understand what you were trying to teach these apostles. Lord, you took time at the end of your earthly ministry, really just short moments before the trial and the crucifixion and that cup that was coming, short moments before that, Lord, that you said, this is important. I've got to get this across to these disciples. They may not understand it now, but they need to understand this. And Lord, if it was important for them 2,000 years ago, surely it's important for us this morning to understand what you were trying to get across to them. And Lord, they didn't have the Comforter that was coming. And Lord, they would have the Holy Spirit soon, and that Holy Spirit would guide them in truth and help them understand this. Lord, we have the Holy Spirit this morning. We should be able to understand what you're teaching them. And Lord, I pray, first of all, there's someone here who's not saved. Lord, it's not whole completely. It could be in here, it could be in the other building across the property here. Help them to trust you as their Savior. It helps to realize the need for washing our feet, figuratively speaking, getting those sins off, that dirt of the world, the influence of the world. And what a wonderful time to come in here on Sunday morning and try to shake some of that off and get that taken care of. And Lord, help us understand that. Help us understand how to be humble. It's not easy, Lord, to be humble. We live in a world where humility in some ways is looked down upon. And there's so much self-promotion. And there's so much arrogance, it seems, Lord. And yet, as a Christian, we can show what's different through our humility. Lord, help us to do that as you've showed us. Lord, help us to be happy. Happiness, Lord, that doesn't come because of external influences. Lord, the happiness that comes from inside because we're doing what you've told us to do. And I pray we do that as a people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around this morning, everybody standing, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure that you're whole? Do you know for sure that you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that He has cleansed you, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you? If you could say this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all my sin, just put your hand up like I know. Say, I know I'm going to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can put your hand right back down. Hey, someone here this morning says, you know, I may have washed my feet a couple times. Somebody washed and got a little, was sorry for something I did, but I've never really trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never been perfectly whole. If you're like that this morning, say, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody at all like that? Would you just put your hand up. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you at all. I'm just pray for you. I'm not saved. Not sure about my salvation. Pray for me. How are we doing in humility? How are we doing in happiness? Starts with our confessing our sins and getting those feet washed, and then continues with following the example that Jesus set for us. This world needs a church like Gilgal Baptist Church, clothed in humility, that can reach them. You know what? That's the difference between us and everybody else. Hey, they're following and trying to promote themselves and do their thing, and yet to see a people that are willing to humble themselves and are happy about it, that's what this world needs. Work on that this week. As the Lord spoke to you, music plays, you come this morning.
was thinking, you know, the Bible tells us if we'll humble ourselves, then God won't have to. And I was thinking in my life, my own personal experience, most of my humbling has been because I exalted myself and God came in and did it, you know? Very few times has it been I humbled myself. But, you know, if we would do that, God wouldn't have to. And so the humility we deal with most of the time, the times I've been humbled has been my fault, and God had to step in and humble me. But it'd be great if we did that ahead, and God wouldn't have to do that. So anyway, work on that this week. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. And Brother Jason's will be preaching for us tonight, so be in place for that. Enjoy the wonderful day outside, and looking forward to a great week. Father, I pray that you'd be with us as we go out from here. Again, give us the strength, wisdom to, Lord, be doers this week of the Word, and look for opportunities, Lord. I really think there's times where we could be a help in humbling ourselves and helping others, and we just don't think of it and don't focus on it. So help us to do that maybe a little more this week than normal. And give us a great day today. Bring us back in safely tonight. Lord, we do pray for any that are sick, help them to get well. And Lord, we just want to we want to reach more for you. Help us to do that as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.